Welcome to the Movie Journey Podcast, where we break down every film from the IMDb Top 250 list, giving our own thoughts and reviews and any general discussion along the way. My name is Daniel Henderson, crawling through a river of breakdowns and coming out clean on the other side.
And I'm Dean Jeffrey, second cousin to Harvey the Rabbit.
You could have come up with something a bit better for number 100.
No.
Terrible.
I don't care about these bloody quips, Endo.
All right. Today, we are continuing our breakdown of The Shawshank Redemption, our number 100 breakdown, Dean.
Yes, number 100 breakdown, number one film on IMDb.
I mean, it's a perfect little milestone there, isn't it?
It is a perfect milestone, Endo. Yeah,
certainly better than the number 100 on the top 250 list, which I believe was Bicycle Thieves. It doesn't really ring the same bell.
No, it does not.
Because
no.
It's a bicycle.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
You're terrible.
Wow.
All right, let's get into it, Dean. Where did we leave off? We left at the...
Brooks killed himself, all right? Why do you have to remind me?
On such a joyous note at the end of the last episode.
Yes, we did. But we open with a joyous note here for part two of Shawshank with the library books have arrived, Hendo.
Finally, as well as all his money. The nagging paid off.
Yeah. he's pretty happy about it. I'm not sure Hadley is.
No. You know? He didn't think this was ever going to happen.
He's like, what's all this? You tell me, fuckstick. They're all addressed to you.
What is all this shit? They get some records as well.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. The records. That's right. Yep. So he's sitting. You've got this guard here. He's reading an Archie comic on the toilet. Archie. You ever read an Archie comic?
No, I have not read Archie or Jughead or the gang.
I don't know what Jughead or the gang is.
Jughead is Archie's best friend. And then there's Veronica and...
How do you know so much about this?
Akira watches Riverdale. So I pick up on these words.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair enough. But no, we got Andy playing the music.
Andy does a bit of rebelling here.
I mean, we haven't seen him do this.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, all he's done that we've seen for the guards, well, he's done a lot of their tax returns.
Yes.
So I guess he does feel like he has some level of power.
Entitlement.
Maybe he knows that he's valued there now.
But doing this, I mean, like, he locks the door. Everyone's banging on the door telling him to stop it. He doesn't. Does he know effectively he's going to be just ruining his chances of, like, continuing to do the things he's doing?
But he doesn't ruin his chances.
But he would certainly have this feeling that he would be doing that.
He actually gets more benefits after
crazy,
this.
Crazy, but surely, you know, going behind their back and doing this, and I thought this would be, he'd be like, okay, well, I'm effectively ruining
the moment that really seals it is when... Finally, Norton comes down and is just like, he's looking at Andy, turn it off. And Andy just like cold stares at him, leans in and turns it up.
Yeah, exactly. I just flipped him the bird.
Your ass is mine now. But obviously, playing the shot over the speakers.
Great shot.
It is a great shot. It's, I would say, iconic. I assume it's in every trailer ever of The Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, that sort of like crane up and all the prisoners just standing there looking up.
Do you reckon in the trailer they showed the shot of him with like out in the rain?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, I watched the trailer
last
week, and yes, they do show it.
Wow.
But it's one of those things where without context, you don't watch the trailer and go, oh, he's broken out.
So they don't show anything about breaking out. It might just be like him just outside, you know, like in the prison yard, just like him like loving the rain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Okay, cool. So it's not like once you've seen the movie, often when you see the movie and then you go back and watch a trailer, you're sort of like, oh, wow, they give away so much. But without context, it doesn't mean as much to someone watching it.
Yeah, fair enough. So how long does Andy spend in the solitation, whatever it is?
Is it a week?
Yeah, it's something small.
Solitation.
What's it? Infirmary? No, infirmary is the weather.
Infirmary?
Infirmary is the hospital.
The hole.
The hole, yeah.
What is it called? Solitary.
That's the one.
What did you say? Solitation. I don't think that's a word. Isolation's a
salutation
word.
Salutation.
I think you've combined.
Salutation.
I think you've combined isolation and solitary.
Yeah, sure.
Solitation.
Yes, that's it.
But no, that's easiest time he's ever done. Bullshit.
Yep. This is Red and Andy's first, but maybe one and only argument about hope. Drop that shit, all right?
Yeah, I would agree. That is their only argument. Well, I mean, Red does get a bit more concerned with Andy later, but they're not really having an argument here. But yeah, he's saying that, you know, the music, what was it?
Red's talking about, you know.
Yeah, it's Red talking. Yeah, hold on.
It's Red and Andy. Andy's talking about giving him hope, and Red gets angry. Stop, drop that shit, right? That can drive a man crazy. Like this is the, you know, the difference here between pessimism and optimism.
Yeah.
Like, you got the pessimist Red, who's just like, no, like, you're in prison for life. Just stop thinking about anything else.
Yeah, but Red would argue that he's being a realist. Like, you know, we're not getting out. What's the point of wasting all our energy and getting upset that where...
Get busy living or get busy dying.
But the interesting thing is, when the music is playing and all those men are looking up, we get the red voiceover, and he's saying the impact this music has had as everyone, saying literally the walls have disappeared, you know, because Andy's just like, oh, there's more... You know, this music reminds you that there's more than is in, you know, these four walls.
Yeah.
And Red's already said, yeah, it felt like there were no walls, you know. And for the briefest of moments, every last man at Shawshank felt free.
You've been practicing your...
I feel like that was worse.
I was going to say.
But I'm honoured that you would say, hell, you've been practicing.
Straight after this one, we get, I believe it's Red's next hearing. And this is the one where he's just like he's so...
He can't be fucked.
Nah, like, at least the first
years.
One, there's a little bit there. This one's like, nah, let's just do the routine and get out of here, please.
Yeah, he just recites the exact same words.
Like, stone cold, like...
Do you reckon they all say those words? Like, do you reckon all the prisoners are like, listen, I think this is the best possible thing we can say. Let's all say it.
Could be.
But no, Andy gives Red the harmonica here. And Red is clearly touched.
Yeah.
For all his complaints about, you know, don't have hope and the music wasn't a good idea, he's sort of like not being honest with himself. Because he knows the power of music and the power of hope. He just doesn't want to let any of that in.
And I guess that's him saying before about all the walls coming down, everyone was free. Like, he embraces that, but then quickly goes back to, no, stop it.
Mm. But it's cute, though, because Red gives Andy a new present, too. You know, they've both sort of got each other an I'm sorry gift. What have they got? Marilyn Monroe here.
Yeah, an upgrade.
Wouldn't you be spewing if you got him a new poster and it wasn't big enough?
No, I'll keep
Raquel.
No, Raquel's later.
Oh, is
Rita
it?
Hayworth.
Oh, Rita Hayworth. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
What poster do you think Andy would have now in his prison if he was still there?
I mean, we're talking movie stars. Who's the young, hot movie stars of today? We don't really have them like we used to.
No. Scarlett Johansson?
Okay.
Jennifer Lawrence? You're thinking all the big keys.
I was thinking Jennifer Lawrence. She has not worked in years now.
No.
Is she like married with a kid and is retired?
I have no idea.
It's been
years.
I don't
keep up with the celebrities.
What was her last movie? Was it Joy?
No, X-Men. Was it Dark Phoenix?
Right. It probably was Dark Phoenix, which she clearly wasn't into anyway. But no, I think ScarJo is probably your best bet.
Yeah. Do you reckon Andy's got a Black Widow poster on his wall?
What, like a movie poster?
I reckon he'll have like the Avengers poster on his wall. He's gone off like the old Rita Hayworth to just the entire Avengers crew.
I mean, even like... 10, 20 years ago, who were the Monroe, like, equivalents?
Jolie,
yeah, okay.
You probably have a Lara Croft poster up.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think I had a Lara Croft poster at one point.
Do you reckon you would have had a Shawshank Redemption poster up?
Nah, too many dudes.
Too obvious.
He has a poster up of, like, the whole illusion in the wall. I'm not sure I approve of this. It's all right, just gives me hope.
Yep. Yeah, so the library gets a massive upgrade here. Lots of shots of them doing some building and getting all these books sorted.
Yeah, I really like this stuff. So what are we at? 1959 right now. I really like, who is it? Hayward going through and organizing the books with them, like Count of Monte Cristo. what's the other one he says? Is it Three Musketeers?
Yeah.
Or Treasure Island by Alexandre Dumbass.
Oh, I love Red's little joke too, where they're talking about, like, I think one of the books is, I think it is County Monte Cristo.
You like that one. It's about a prison break.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you should put that in a DIY and how to.
Shouldn't that be an educational two bus? Oh, sorry. Shouldn't that be an educational two?
He doesn't speak like that as the as the character. It's only in the voiceover.
I know. But no, here's where we get our first real Warden Norton is corrupt.
Yeah, this has to set up for what happens later on.
So the Inside Out program where... Oh, actually, I will say, one of the things I like is that this film tries to make out like it's a true story.
Yeah.
Like, the line, which is such a throwaway line, but when Red's just like, you may remember reading about it. Well, I'm just going to stop.
Please. I know you won't be able to, though.
You may remember reading about it. It's sort of like, oh, I mean, obviously, I don't remember reading about it. Must have missed it, you know? Like, you sort of, they throw in like, yeah, this actually happened. Makes it, you know, makes the stakes mean more. But it's good. He's basically got slave labor.
Yeah.
You know, and no one...
Taking bribes, all that good stuff.
Yeah, because no other contractor in the, you know, area can compete with the rates that Norton's giving them because he's not.
We also see Andy here. Like, he's already starting to do stuff on the sly here. When he's confiding in Red, he's like, "Yeah, I made myself a fake person. Like, you know, you can do anything with the banks now. You're fake. Just get it." You know,
Randall Stevens.
Yeah. And yeah, this will obviously play a massive part later on. It's like, they're not going to trace it back to the warden. It's just going to go straight back to this guy. And yeah, no one can find him because he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's good.
Except he will exist.
Eventually, yes, he will.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. I like saying, because I have seen this so many times, all the flashback scenes, you know, whenever they come on, I'm like, ooh, key scene.
Do you think at this point, this is part of his plan? Like, he's obviously breaking out as we speak at this point. Do you think this conversation with Red, how he's talking about this fake person, that is part of what he's doing? Like, he's going to go out and be this fake person to take all the money?
I mean, I think so.
I feel like, I don't know.
You don't think so?
He doesn't have animosity towards the warden right now. It's what happens later with Tommy, where he's like, fuck this guy.
So you don't think he would have taken this guy's identity because he likes the warden?
I just don't think that he's setting it up to do that right now. I think he incorporates that idea of becoming this fake person after, you know, what happens to Tommy and the months and months in solitude. Did I say that right?
Solitude, yeah. Solitary.
What did I say last time? Solitation?
Solitation. It's like sanitation.
I mean, I think there can be something there. Maybe he hasn't thought of it yet. Maybe in those months and months he spent by himself, he's probably thinking, when I break out, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all the stuff and I'm going to take all his money. Screw this guy. He took my freedom.
Honestly, I think he would have taken the identity anyway. I think the only difference is he wouldn't have sent the thing to the newspapers and had them arrested.
You think he would have stolen his entire inheritance?
I mean, I would say yes, but Andy tells Red here by the time he retires, I'll have made him a millionaire. So maybe not, because it doesn't seem like Andy's lying here.
I don't think he has any intention at the moment to be doing this. I think he's just really smug with himself that, yeah, I've been able to do this. Look how smart I am.
I don't know. It's a good plan nonetheless.
I did mention Tommy, and here he is.
Tommy Tomasimo, one of the great like mini stories in this.
Yep.
There's so many, like, you know, you got the Brooks miniseries, you got the Tommy miniseries, you got the library miniseries. It's all...
They don't need to have this story about him doing his test and passing his grades and that. But the fact that it's in here just really gets you into this character.
Only
just to be off like the next scene.
I know, he's in it like so little.
Yeah.
Like, he's barely in this, but God, like, yeah, you don't forget Tommy.
And I feel like that's setting you on a different path here. Like, you get invested in this character and they show the story of him getting his grades and passing his tests that you wouldn't expect for him to be killed. Like, this seems like a new character that's going to be
positive,
into the end.
Yeah, it's such a positive story here.
Yeah.
For them to just kill him off means so much more. But I really like the music that sort of hits in when you see him on the bus for the first time. That boo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo. Okay, the tune's not like that at all, but you know
it's
what I mean.
It's almost as bad as your Morgan Freeman impersonation. Do, 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 do.
Do, 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 do. But no, Tommy is a great character. The story about, he sort of tells these vets, these old prisoners, about how he's stealing a TV. And he's like, I would, but if I drop this fucking thing, he got me on destruction of property too. And they're all laughing, Tommy. Mr. Rock and Roll.
I love how Andy is now one of the gang as well now when he starts talking about, you know, what did you do? He's like, lawyer, fuck me.
Because Andy's a bit of a rude prick here. Like, he really is. Yeah, he's like, maybe you should consider doing something different. He's like, what? What do you mean?
Shut the fuck up.
Well, you're clearly a terrible thief. Maybe do something else. He's like, yeah, well, what the fuck are you in here for? Like, good question. Because seriously.
He could have gone around it a bit better.
Like, yeah, he definitely came across as, like, arrogant there.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, it's good. It is good that, as you say, like, Andy is one of the gang now.
Yeah.
Everyone innocent in here. Don't you know that? That's
good. Yeah, he starts teaching Tommy, and Tommy has a hard time with it.
Even when Tommy goes to him, he's like, oh, I hear you've helped some of the guys around here get their high school diploma. And he's just like, I don't waste time with losers, Tommy. Jesus Christ, Andy. He's coming to you for help.
I mean, he does come around in the end. Maybe it's just like a reverse psychology tactic.
Yeah, the only thing is I don't read so good. Well, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
You don't read so well. We'll get to that. Yeah. But Tommy, fuck, he just goes off when he finishes this
test.
Loses
his mind.
Yeah, but do you think, like, so he's doing his high school equivalency and he's like, the cat jumping on fucking tree, but 5 times 5. And it's like,
5 times 5.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, I think he says 5 times 5. Is that high school?
Yeah, that's my point. Are they really going to have, like, a high school equivalency of, like, oh, a cat jumps on a tree? Circle the nouns.
I mean, is that...
Sounds like primary school equivalency.
Is that the test to get into high school? Like, is that a pass from primary to high school?
Oh, that's good. But no, the actor here who plays Tommy is really good.
Gil Bellows.
Who?
Gil Bellows. And I don't know why, but I remember him from Ally McBeal, and I didn't even watch that show.
Ally McBeal. Yeah. That was big when it was on.
Mm. I just remember he was in that, and he was in this.
Was that Clarissa Flockhart? Harrison?
Callista?
Callista?
Callista Flockhart?
Harrison Ford's missus?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I ever watched it.
I didn't either, but he was in it.
Yeah. But you got Tommy in red here, and Tommy's just like, no, seriously, what is he in here for? He does not feel like he fits in here. And Red's like, nah, murder. You know, some he killed his wife and golf pro.
The story, and he's just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then, tells the whole story about, what was he, in prison with another guy who...
Yeah, what's his name? Elmo Blatch.
Elmo.
You don't meet many Elmos anymore.
There's only one Elmo.
And there is Blatch.
Yeah, quite a revealing story here. That we knew Andy was. Well, we didn't know Andy was innocent, but we had a very
pretty
strong suspicion.
Sure, pretty sure.
Yeah, but no, this confirms it.
Yeah, it does.
And just the look on Andy's face.
Yes.
I mean, how do you react to that?
Yeah, like he's. You know, you talk about hope. Like he's thinking. Oh,
is it?
How funny would it be, right, if Andy gets found innocent and he leaves? And they pull the poster down, and there's like a half-dug hole there.
Under arrest for trying to, break out of the prison.
this guy as well, I thought he was really good, the way that sick laugh. Like,
yeah. Like, he loves it.
And that's the best part. Oh, no, he's pretty good. But Norton, yeah, he's...
I saw Warden here.
You can't blame him, right? He's got Andy making him an absolute fortune.
Yep.
And he comes to him and he's like, oh, listen, the new guys just said that he knows who killed the person that I've apparently killed. And Warden's just like, don't be silly.
Yep.
I'm most amazed that you've been taken in by it.
It's like, but I didn't do it.
How can you be so obtuse? Obtuse? Is it deliberate? Come on, Andy.
Oh, nah, yeah, the warden goes off at him here.
Well, because he outright mentions the illegal activities, which...
Like, I won't mention any of that. Like, what?
Yeah, I'm as liable as you are for embezzling all that money, sir. And he's just no.
Yeah, you do not say that. Boom, into the hole.
Yep, solitation for a whole month, Endo.
Yes.
But Tim Robbins is good here, This is my life. Don't you understand?
Yep.
This is my life.
Warden's going to have none of it.
Yep. And I like that, Red and the gang are setting up like a month in a hole. Like, there's the longest stretch they've ever heard of.
Yeah.
And it's just going to, like, even hearing that, like, he's in there for a month, that's incredibly long.
Yeah.
You know, they say a month, what do they say? A week in the hole is like a year.
Yeah.
Right? And he's doing a month. It's like, holy shit. So that moment when he comes back and he's like, give him another month to think about it. It's like, oh,
no.
But not Tommy gets his results here. C+ average.
Lovely. Good stuff, Tommy. Cool. You're on the path to a glorious future here.
Yes. And when Tommy gets taken outside, he's just like, out here? That's what the man said.
That actor who plays that guard.
Yeah.
Do you recognize him?
Vaguely. What's he in?
He's from 24. He's the chief of staff. The guy with the glasses.
The bald guy?
Yeah, the bald guy.
Oh, wow.
Palmer's chief of staff who betrays him.
Oh, he's really good.
Yeah.
So you betray him?
Yeah, kind of.
He doesn't mean to, or his family's being held or some shit. Like,
he's a good guy. It's more like a political... He doesn't betray him to get him murdered. He betrays him in the sense that he takes a different political side because he thinks Palmer's doing the wrong thing. So, he joins the other side to try and get him kicked out of the presidency. Second season.
How good is Dennis Haysbert? It's so sad he didn't become a big deal.
Oh, he's always President Palmer.
Mm. He's always a deep fryer in heat.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this before, this would be quite shocking.
Yeah.
It is sus, though. It's like, why are we meeting out in the middle of, the middle of nowhere in the dark?
The right thing to do. Sometimes it's hard to know what that is.
And the warden's smoking a cigarette here. It's like, this is weird. I've never seen the warden, light up a smoke. And
I think everyone smoked back then.
Yeah, but you haven't seen him do that yet. And it just seemed a little odd to me that he was doing it. And then I realized, he's using it as a signal. Like, if this guy does say the wrong thing, he's going to, put it down in front of him and ash it and look up to...
Hadley.
I was going to say Haywood then.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I do it all the time. Yeah.
To Hadley, that's the signal to go.
Yeah, okay. So you think that's the signal?
I think
so
it is.
So you think he wasn't going to kill him no matter what?
No.
He was...
Why would he go through all the trouble here of talking to him? Oh, you're going to do it? You're going
to
do it?
But he seems not to give two shits about killing him or even, like, or even like talking about it. Like he openly says to Andy later, broke poor Hadley's heart having to shoot him.
No, because I think that he doesn't know if he's telling the truth or not. He could just be flat out lying. So he's come and said, I need you to be absolutely clear. Are you telling the truth? If he just goes, I was just mucking around with him.
Would you be willing to place your hand on the good book and swear to it?
Yeah.
So just give me that chance.
So he knows that it's legit true now. If he'd come out and said, oh, no, I was just mucking around. I was just trying to get in good with the group. It's like, oh, okay, cool. See you later.
So brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Such a great scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. End of Tommy. Bad luck, buddy.
Yep. But Norton visits Andy in the hole. We've sort of touched on this a bit. Says we're just going to move on. And Andy's...
What did he say happened to Tommy? He tried to escape. That's right. He mentioned that Tommy's dead.
Yeah. I don't think he mentioned he was trying to escape.
No, he does. He's like, oh, so close to his, you know, his probation and trying to escape. And he got...
I don't think he said...
killed in the process trying to escape.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never picked up on that.
But it's so like, oh, shame he had to die. Like, it's
I mean, he is like that. He says it broke Hadley's heart to have to shoot him.
Yeah. They had to give a reason why he shot him. And he's saying
I think the reason's pretty clear because he was going
to... No, but there has to be a reason to other people why he died.
But he's just telling Andy. That's... Yeah. It's odd.
No, he's still saying that he tried to escape. He definitely told him.
All right. And Andy, you know, a month, clearly not long enough. He's just like, everything stops. Got someone else to run your scams, which is crazy.
Don't say that.
Because, he needs, you know, he needs the suit. He needs the shoes. He needs...
I mean, he's not thinking about that right now.
He should be. He's had a month to think about it.
The warden gives him... No, because he doesn't know about this whole thing yet. Now that he finds out Tommy's dead and his hope is actually gone, he gets that next month to think about it. That, I think in the end, that extra month in the hole worked out perfectly for him.
Mm.
Gave him all this chance to think up the new plan. And I think this is where he thinks of getting the suit and the shoes and taking the identity. Mm. And that's how he's going to do it.
Nothing stops. Oh, you would do the hardest time there is. You'll think you've been fucked by a train. That's so good. Library, gone. We'll burn the books. We'll dance around it like wild Indians.
Well, this so good. This Warden's just turned.
The Norton is such a great character. Yeah. And this actor is so good with his lines. He's just so calm, but so menacing. Like, because he knows he has all the power.
He has 100%.
Yeah, it's so good. You catching my drift? Or am I being obtuse?
Nice. So Andy's out, finally, and we have a little nice D&M here.
We do have a nice D&M, and this D&M is my...
Excellent!
Very good.
Yeah, I think, you know, had you asked me after my first or second watch what my favourite scene is, it wouldn't be this.
Okay,
it would be other, you know, big dramatic moments, but on a rewatch, this scene just, it ticks all the buttons for me. You know, you got Andy and Red just connecting... On this deep, deep level, Andy knows what's about to happen, and he's trying to communicate with Red some stuff so that he has actual, legit deniability. So when he's questioned, because he knows he'll be questioned, he can honestly say, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
But he's also setting him up to, hey, listen, promise me you'll go here under this tree, you know, where I banged my wife. Yeah, cheers. there's a rock that has no right to be there. And it's like, you're sort of thinking like, oh, what's buried there already? Like, you're not, at this point, you're sort of not thinking that Andy's going to get out and put something there.
Yeah.
You're thinking something is already there for Red. So you're like, oh, what could that be?
And in the end, it's something that he puts there after he leaves.
Yeah. I just love, like, Andy. I feel like this is Andy at his most honest he's ever been in the film. He's talking about how, you know, he was a bad husband, you know.
Yeah.
And I was a hard man to love, you know. And,
he should have been better.
Yeah. And he's like, but any mistakes I've made, I've paid for it. And then
That's a lot of clarity that he's spent the last 2 months just mulling over.
Yeah. But I even love the bit where he's like, I killed her, Red. I may not have pulled the trigger. And I was like, oh! imagine if it was like, I killed her. I don't know what Tommy was talking about. Yeah. I actually killed her.
The flashback in the area is shooting. I'm like, holy shit.
Imagine that, like a Usual Suspects, like Kaiser Soze sort of a reveal of...
And then he breaks out the prison and gets out. Time to go to work.
That's awesome. I just think this scene's stunning. I think it's so well written, so well acted. You know,
Red's still got that pessimistic nature. He's like, you got to stop thinking about these things.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah.
Andy says it.
Yeah, Andy says he's walking away. Because the whole thing is, they're setting up here that Andy is about to kill himself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because they talk about how he puts the rope as well.
Because Andy is acting broken. He's like, I'm done. And he's talking to Red like he's never going to talk to Red again.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever get out, do this. You know, and he starts...
He's lost all his hope. His hope's gone.
Well, It's not, but that's how he's sort of...
I know.
Yeah, that's how he's sort of portraying himself. And, you know, he talks about, say, Watanao, and, you know, they talk about the Pacific, and they say it has no memory. I just love that line as well, because it's just like, he doesn't want to remember his life now.
Yeah.
He needs to start afresh, and the Pacific Ocean is the best place to do it. But Red's just like, nah, I would never do something like that. He's like, I'm institutionalized, like Brooks. And maybe, I'm not sure if Andy had this planned all along, but there's a chance, I think, that Andy was just like, I need to give Red purpose. I don't want Red to be the next Brooks. I need Red to, you know, to find this tree, to find this rock, and I'll give Red his next mission to come and see me.
Yeah, because once he finds out that Andy has escaped and, like, the hope is there that you can do it, for him to not have that info when he leaves, that would end him. Like, we see later on, when he does get out, he looks like he's about to, but then he starts thinking, oh, the stuff that Andy said.
Yeah, exactly right. So, no, I love that Andy gives Red a purpose here. What great friends, Hendo.
The bestest of friends for you.
The bestest of friends. Okay, but now here we've got the guy sitting at the table, and Haywood's just like, Andy said he wanted a rope 6 feet long. And the guy's like, what?
And like, he got it?
Well, you know, it's like, it's Andy. You don't think, you know, hey, no. So every man has his breaking point.
And Warden's gone a real smug prick now, hasn't he? When he's doing the books. Here, show him my shoes. It's like, did Andy have to do that before?
What do you mean he's been a smug prick?
I feel like he's just been smug. Like, he's got him right where he wants him. He can do whatever he wants. And he's just like, shine those shoes before you go too.
I don't think that.
But then he gives him, he turns around, he's like, oh, it's good to have you back. Like, just.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, but I think that's still like, it's like sort of.
I think Norton's delusional.
I mean, yeah, he is. But I think he's still like, I've got you right where I want you. You can shine my shoes now. But it's, you know, it's good to have you back. Like, give him a little, you know, little boost there.
But we got Andy walking back to his cell alone, looks at Red. Red's very concerned.
Yep. Everyone's concerned.
Andy sits there as the lights are out, and we see him reach for the rope under his pillow. And it's got a suicide coming up. But I love that, like, you see him, like, he grabs a rope, and the camera's sort of where the poster would be, and he sort of looks up at the poster.
Yeah.
You know, and on a rewatch, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Here we go.
This is the night.
But now we get some, you know, more fantastic voiceover from Red here. You know, he's had some long nights alone in the dark.
Say it right.
I've had some No, I can't.
Oh, that was starting off to be the worst one.
That was the longest night of my life.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
The longest night of my life.
You do it. Come on, you've barely done anything here.
That was the longest night of my life.
I think it's way too croaky.
Get busy living.
All right, morning, and here we go. It's coming up. Andy does not appear.
Just not there.
Nope.
And obviously, you'd think, yep, something has happened to him here because we have that sneaking suspicion. He got that rope for a reason.
And even the guard walking up to the cell like, you better be sick or dead in there. I shit you not. And then he walks in, he looks around. And I like that he does, like, look around.
Yeah.
You know, because if he was hanging there, he wouldn't look around.
Yeah.
You know, so he is.
If he opened the door and just, like, went, like, oh, and just, like, stood back in.
No, he's disgust. Clearly moving his eyes and head, like, looking around. He's like, oh, my God. And then the warden opens his shoebox to find the old ones, like Andy's shoes.
Yeah,
and then the alarm sort of kicks in just at that moment.
Just at that moment, he's like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yep.
Goes into the cell, and warden's just having a...
What do you mean he just wasn't there? Don't say that to me again. It's like, say what again? I dare you. But so he wasn't. I can see that, hey? You think I'm blind? Is that what it is? Am I blind, Haywood?
Hadley.
Hey, the other...
Oh, is it Haywood?
I think I did the second up, but it's Hay. Okay. It's Hay. The tubby guard is Hay. He was in his cell. It lights out. I want him found. Not tomorrow. Not after breakfast. Now. It's so good.
It's such a great scene.
I love it.
And then they pull Red in. He's like, eh? I see you two hanging out all the time.
You're thick as thieves you are.
And then Red's like, I seriously have no idea.
Lord, it's a miracle. Man up and vanished like a fart in the wind.
He's lucky, though, that he grabbed one of those little rocks.
He's like, do you know? He starts throwing them at everyone. Do you know? Maybe we ask her.
Now, imagine if he didn't do that. And
what say you, skinny britches? Oh, I love it. Feel like talking? Guess not. Why should she be any different?
I love how don't see the rock go through the poster. You just hear the sound of it.
Yeah.
Is that little... like, what?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then I love how
the arm.
Yeah, he puts the finger through, yep. And then the whole arm
just goes through.
Yeah,
it's
and
great.
Then tear down, and then the pullback.
That shot of him
of all of them just looking like, oh,
yeah, it's such a great shot.
I wish he had Red just like a big grin, like, yeah, boy.
I remember thinking it would take a man 600 years to tunnel through the wall, and he did it in less than 20. Oh, and he loved geology.
Every time you do a Morgan Freeman, I get a chance to have a drink because you're going to be so focused on it and do it so poorly.
That's all it takes. Pressure and time. That and a big goddamn poster. And now we get flashbacks. And I love flashbacks. Is it a twist? Not really. But it's this big event that happens, and now we're getting the flashbacks of everything that led up to it.
Yeah, it goes back to the point where he was carving his name in, and we get a little bit of, when we see that for the first time, we get a little bit of like rock coming out of the wall, but then extended that scene and the huge chunk comes out.
Yeah. One thing I did have an issue with.
Oh.
And this is minor nitpicking.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm sure you're going to get raked over the coals for this one, but go ahead.
Norton is a short man. Andy is a giant man. How is he fitting into Norton's suit and shoes? Hendo, I told you it was nitpicky, but there's no way in hell.
It's all about hope.
Thank you, Hendo.
He hoped that he could put them on.
And he willed that foot in.
Just really cramped feet.
Oh, another thing. I think his biggest flaw in his plan, right, is that he would have got down to that huge metal pipe and the rock he had would not have been able to break through. How the hell does he break that pipe with a rock?
I don't think this is the first time he's got to that point. I think he spent several nights crawling through this hole and surveying this thing. Maybe he knows that this is like a somewhat rusted pipe.
But he's never hit the pipe before.
How do you know that?
Because it's not broken. And it only takes him like three hits and the whole thing explodes.
Maybe he's tried one of these many nights on a rainy night where he smashed it with a rock and he's made a dent in it. He's like, okay, I can do this several more times.
Maybe he's like had a rock and just been slowly rubbing
away
it.
At it.
Giving it the old pressure and time treatment just to wear it down a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, I was just saying it. And like, but the sound it makes, it sounds like this is not a thin, but this is thick steel.
Yeah. Before we get to this morning and we get the night before where Andy is in his cell, we hear the rain start before it fades off to the morning because he obviously has to do it on a rainy, stormy night.
Yeah.
So I think it's at that point that he realizes this is the night I'm going to do it. Yep. When he hears the rain going, I think we get a little bit of it too.
A little bit of what?
Of the rain. We hear the rain on that night before it fades away to the morning.
Okay. It's quite the revelation, Hendo.
Thank you.
But we see him actually finally get out. We got Red saying it's 500 yards of shit-smelling foulness I don't want to imagine.
You were just talking about nitpicking before. Do you ever think about the classic nitpick of Shawshank? How did he put the poster back on if he was inside the hole facing the other way?
Yeah, I mean, you could easily do the top. I mean, how does he hang it? Is it blue tack? Is blue tack invented back then?
How is he hanging it on a rock?
Is it sticky tape?
No.
Is it blue tack?
It has to be something that's going to hold it there for quite a while. Like, he's not banging nails into the wall.
No, it's definitely not nails, Hendo. Yeah. It's either
blue tack or sticky tape is not going to keep it up on a rock wall.
I mean, blue tack might.
I don't think blue tack was invented in the 40s.
I mean, we're at 69.
How did he hold it up with the Raquel, not the Raquel one, the Rita Hayworth one?
Just tack.
Anyway, how did he keep that poster up there?
I mean, so you could put the top two corners or top three pieces up, right? And it would hang naturally. You could do the third corner at the bottom and just leave the other one a little bit loose.
So we've seen in the flashbacks here where he is carving it at night. He is like hiding behind the poster. Yeah. So whatever he's got there is actually holding it up.
Yeah.
Like pretty well.
Yeah.
But the fact that it is so tight against the wall that when the warden throws a rock through,
I mean,
like,
it's a movie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It wouldn't be as cool if it was billowing around before he threw a rock through it.
Yeah, understandable. I don't know. Maybe it could have been, they could have shown that the hole he made was quite huge, that he could actively turn around in it to go across, to go forward.
God, I wasn't even thinking about him turning around.
Because he has to crawl head
first. He crawls forwards.
How's
You're
he
right.
Around?
He can't turn around.
Maybe the hole was... No, the hole was not big enough. Like, you see
no,
the hole
you can't,
back.
No, you can't. He is like, scrunching
no,
his shoulders
maybe
up to get through.
He could have done that later on in the hole, like, just made it smaller and smaller, work.
What? No.
Yeah, but even when they pull the poster down and you get the pull back, the hole is quite small. There's no way he can spin around in there to close up the poster and then spin back around.
See, I could buy everything until you said he won't be able to turn around in there.
Yeah.
What if... Okay, I've got it. He crawled all the way out... Turned around, crawled all the way back in, hung it up, and then went backwards. Because we don't know how long that hole is.
That's
it's definitely not the length of 5 football fields.
So you think that he's going to crawl headfirst all the way through, go back in, crawl headfirst all the way back?
Yes.
Hang the poster probably, and then crawl backwards.
Surely
all
you
the
just
way through
surely
it.
You just crawl backwards the first time, wouldn't
especially
you?
Especially when you see that when he goes to the pipe, he actually comes out headfirst to bang onto the pipe.
Damn it.
Anyway, that's who cares? Like you said, it's a fucking movie, all right?
Wow. Now he gets out, triumphant music, arms up, camera pulls up while he's in the rain.
Which is my...
Excellent!
I get goosebumps watching this. Do like the music, the swelling of the music, him getting out of the rain, just that, and that's especially that shot when he's just hands in the air, feeling the rain, realizing his hope has been realized. He's got
realizing his hope has been realized.
Did I say realized? Okay. No, he's free. Like after what was it? How long did they say he was in prison for?
20 years.
Yeah.
Because Red says it, I thought it would take 600. It took Andy 20 years.
20 years, wrongfully accused, only to escape and be free.
Not wrongfully accused. Wrongfully convicted, Hendo.
He's also wrongfully accused, though.
Well, he used to be wrongfully accused. Yep. Now he's wrongfully convicted.
Not anymore, because he is out.
Well, he's still wrongfully convicted.
Yeah, you know what I mean. No, and it's not just this last shot. It's the whole breaking out with the voiceover from Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, about the time Norton was yelling at the poster, a man that no one had ever laid eyes on walked into the bank.
Turns out,
and the signature was a spot on match.
And the flashback of him swapping the books over on the night before and all that stuff. Yeah, that's great. And you're just like, Warden, you are so screwed. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Goes in there, takes the money. And I love how it's not just the one bank. Morgan Freeman's like, he went to at least 20 banks, taking all the Warden's money.
Yeah, $370,000.
Which would have been huge back in the day.
Yeah, definitely. We get Norton. We get the... Yeah, he sends the stuff to the Daily Bugle. Nice. Cops are coming. I love how, you know, he must have sent some pretty solid evidence here.
Oh, he had everything.
But what about the murder of Tommy? Like, the cops don't even investigate. They're just like, this criminal says that Hadley killed him.
Maybe Hadley rats on him.
Byron Hadley, you're under arrest for murder.
We did hear the voiceover. It was like, I heard that Hadley cried like a little baby all the way. I'm sure he probably ratted out the warden for more stuff.
Yeah. Norton had no intention of going that quietly.
Would he rat him out, though? He's the one that killed Tommy. I don't think he'd reveal that, I killed him.
I don't know.
I don't think he would. I don't think the whole Tommy thing's just gone when he dies.
Don't know.
I love it when the cop shows up and he looks at his Bible verse on the wall.
Mm. You're right.
His judgment cometh, and that right soon.
Mm. But also, you were right. Salvation lay with him.
Yeah. Opens the Bible, and there it is, all carved out.
Yeah. That's good. It's odd, though. Like, he loads his gun, and he's aiming it at the door.
Like, I thought he was going to
have a shootout here.
Yeah. That's what it's set up to be like.
Yeah.
You think he's going to put one bullet in, but he keeps putting bullets in. He loads the whole gun. Like, he's actually ready to shoot people on his way out of here.
I mean, it must be that he was like wanting to get shot and killed and just didn't think he could do it himself. Like, why would he be killing these cops?
I think he's thinking I could try. Like, the first instinct is I got to get out of here. I'll try and shoot my way out.
There's too many.
And then as he's going through, he realizes I'm not getting out of here.
Yeah.
Turns around, boom.
Great suicide shot here where the gunshot's really loud. The glass breaks great. The blood, like, there's heaps, but it's not, like, excessive. Yeah. It's just like, bang, bit of blood. It just felt really realistic.
I always wondered what the last thing that went through Warden's mind, aside from the bullet.
Yeah. Close
just,
enough.
Just how Andy... Yeah. I don't have it written down verbatim.
I like to think the last thing that went through his mind, other than that bullet, was how the hell Andy Dufresne got the best of him. So, life goes on for Red at the prison here.
He gets a little postcard, though.
He does. We talk about birds a bit. Some birds aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright.
Andy Dufresne, who crawled through a river of shit, then came out clean on the other side.
I guess I just miss my friend.
Aww. His best friend.
Aww, you guys. But now we get, what is this, a third parole hearing here?
Yep, and clearly this is the best, where he's actually...
Oh, this is so good. This is one of my favourite scenes as well. It's like, rehabilitated?
That's bullshit.
No, he's like, oh, I don't exactly know what that means. And they sort of chuckle, and you're like, holy shit, does he really not know what rehabilitation... I know what you think it means, sonny boy. Whatever he says.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just a made-up word. This monologue from Red here is so good. He's just like, am I sorry for what I did? Well, are you? Not a day goes by. I don't wish I could. You know, he's like, I want to go back.
I think you should stop the impersonation. Yeah.
He's like, I want to go back. I want to talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, it's so good. It's like he's...
Everything he's saying is really like, this is how you do a parole hearing. Like, this is genuine here.
Yeah. He's just like, that kid's gone and this old man is all that's left. I got to live with that.
Yep, so you go ahead and stamp your stupid stamp and go back. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Boom, all right. So basically, you just have to go in there and say, you know what? I don't care. Go fuck yourself. I don't give a shit.
Yep.
Get this man out of here.
Yeah. And it's good that, you know, we see the parallels now with Brooks and he's got, you know, Brooks' job.
This was my other potential excellent here. I was thinking, whoa, this is pretty close. Like, just seeing the parallels.
Yeah.
Like, the exact same.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking, like, Red is compared to Brooks a lot through this film, especially with Andy saying it, like, institutionalized.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know if he could cope being on the outside. And he's just following the same pattern here. And you're just thinking, oh my God, is Red going to off himself here?
Bathroom break bus. You don't have to tell me. Every time you want to take a piss. 40 years I've been...
And the same situation. He's contemplating...
Yeah, he looks at the gun like Brooks did, you know?
Maybe I'll go roll.
Maybe I could shoot the manager.
But he sees the compass.
Well, no, because he says, terrible thing to live in fear. Only one thing stops me, a promise I made to Andy. But now we get Red walking through the Buxton Fields.
Yes.
On what looks to be an extremely hot day. I would argue, not the best day for a suit.
You want to talk about how this is the second time he's broken the law? First one was the reason why he went into prison. And the second one was breaking parole.
Sure, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Go for it, Hendo.
So he breaks parole.
And that is my... I doubt they'll kick up much of a fuss.
Next thing, get on the ground!
Yeah, I mean... They're in the south here.
Yeah.
Surely it's, you know.
I mean, who's following up on parole? Like, he's left the state. He's about to leave the country.
Yeah, I guess. But he walks around, and kudos to him for actually being able to find this random tree.
It looks like he goes for a while searching for this thing.
Because, like, Andy's like, oh, you know, there are these fields in this area. And Red's like, there are a lot of those fields. He's like, well, no, one in particular. There's a fence with a big tree. I'm like... Like,
how many fences with big trees would there be?
I want to know how narrow an area it is where there's a lot of fields in X area. Like, is that a state?
They should have shown him digging under, like, multiple trees going, fucking hell.
It's like, nah, there's a fence next to this tree. They're like, oh.
Imagine he gets in, like, the fence is torn down. Like, well, it can't be this one.
I mean, it's been 20 years. It's crazy. But no, he finds the glass-like rock.
Yep. And then it is a note directly to him. So, how did Andy know to write a letter to me when he was making love to his wife?
And, you know, I like that Red says, not Red, I like that Andy says, you remember the name of the town, don't you?
Yeah, he doesn't write it.
What if he didn't?
Well, then that's his fault.
Say what
to
Neil.
He's not going to write it.
Say what to Neil.
And then we get it again.
Get
busy living.
No.
Or get busy dying.
You're goddamn right. But he says, you know, hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things.
Maybe
no
the
good
best
thing.
Of
it- no, this is Andy talking.
I just want to do a Freeman voice.
And no good thing ever dies. Well, get it out of your system.
Get busy living.
But then we see what must be a flashback because he's already left the area of the Brooks was here. He stands on the thing and writes, so was Red.
So was Red.
Yep.
So that was good.
Yep. And then his, you know, final voiceover here. I hope I can make it across the border and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it is in my dreams.
Pretty blue.
I hope. Now, it's interesting saying that he dreams about the Pacific Ocean because he's already said, Pacific scares the shit out of me, you know? But he's, in reality, no, he's dreaming about it. He loves it.
Yeah. And so we get to the beach. He's walking along, shoes are off.
Yep.
Feeling the sand between his toes.
Yep.
He looks up at a boat just there, and there's Andy
scrubbing
away. big grins all around, big hugs. I like that it's like a, it's from a distance. Like it's pulling back already as they
give the men some privacy.
Exactly.
Endo.
All right. Oh, that is it. The Shawshank Redemption is done.
Any last words?
You know what? I'm going to go first this time.
That's unusual for you, Hendo.
I want you to say all the things you're going to say, and then I'll probably say the same stuff. This movie gives you a lot of hope, doesn't it, Dean?
Thanks, Hendo. Yeah, for me.
No, look, I don't think I've seen it as much as you. I don't think...
There's no way you've seen it as much as me.
No, this isn't one of my go-to movies. Like,
why? It's so rewatchable.
Yeah, but I just haven't rewatched it. And I think this may... I don't know if I mentioned it or not. This may be the fourth time I've seen it. Maybe third? Not too sure on that one. But, man, this is just such an inspiring movie. It is a very well-made movie. The script in particular really stands out to me. There's so much that you can just... You can just encapsulate here and really take out. Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman are spectacular in their roles here. Tim Robbins especially, like, he comes out just swinging in this movie and he really puts in a performance. And Morgan Freeman is just, like, he's done movies before this, but I think this is where you get Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I think this is definitely the start of the next stage of his career.
I think the general setting of the Shawshank prison and how it's just basically that give or take a couple of other scenes where this is where this whole thing is set, you really get a scope of the surroundings that they're in, and this place really comes to life. The Shawshank prison comes to life. You get those big sweeping shots, the aerial shots with the score that is just so fantastic in this movie. You understand the people who live here. You don't just get Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins. You get everyone else. You get your Haywood. You get your Brooks. You get the warden. You get
Hadley.
Hadley.
Tommy.
Of course, Tommy as well. Like all these other characters, they get fleshed out.
Hey.
Hey?
Hey. So we've got a Haywood, a Hadley, and a Hay.
Yeah. Hey, Hadley, Haywood.
Yeah.
And I love that they devote this time to these other characters, especially Brooks and Tommy as well. You get, like you said, these mini sub-stories in the middle that work fantastic. Like, you really care for these people. The Brooks story is just so sad as well. Like, this movie is such an emotional film. It gets you on a very deep and depressing level at some points, but it also shows the other side of that with hope and the way that transpires with Andy at the end when he's, you know, escaping from prison, and the way that swells up is just extraordinary. This is a great movie about friendship as well. Like, not the best of friends for me.
The greatest of movies about friends, Hendo.
It is a fantastic movie about friendship. It is a fantastic movie about hope. It is a fantastic movie about inspiration. And even though I haven't seen as much as you, this still does get a...
Amazing.
Incredible.
Outstanding.
From me.
Very good. Yeah, I think for me, I mean, gee, it's so hard going second. You've just said everything I was going to say. But I do think...
All right, thank you very
much. I will echo what you've said. The performances are great. The setting's great. The score's great. The script, which you did touch on, I think this script is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's so many quotable lines. There's so many lines that look at...
Not as good as Forrest Gump, apparently.
I mean, you're a big Forrest Gump guy.
Am I?
Well, I think you are compared to me.
Compared to you, yeah, everyone is.
Not everyone. Most people. Yeah, I just think this film is, for such a heavy film, it's amazing how rewatchable it is for me. You never get sick of this film. It's such an easy film to watch.
Yeah.
The colour scheme's great. Yeah, for me, I completely agree with you. It definitely gets a...
Amazing.
Incredible.
Outstanding.
From me.
Fantastic.
I was the best because the crowd loved me.
All right, Dean, where's it going to sit on your rankings?
Pretty high up, Hendo. Pretty, pretty high up.
Not as high as last time, though?
What was last time?
It was your number one.
Was that the old Godfather Part 2, was it?
Yes.
Let me just have a quick look here.
I thought you would have done that already. Well, while you look, I'll go. Shall I? Save some time here.
Go for it, Hendo.
All right, so this is a five-star banger. So where am I going to start on my five-star list? I'm not going to start at the bottom of it because I don't want to scroll through. Wow, 33 five-star bangers out of 99 so far. So
I'm That's an insane ratio.
34 five-star bangers out of 100.
Over a third.
I love movies.
Over a third of your films are five stars.
Yeah.
It almost lessens the, you know.
No, I think it shows the terrible quality of the bad ones that I have so many good ones on here. And it shows the quality of this list, Dean.
Yeah, I think that's the argument. It shows that we are doing a list of the best ever films. So having a third of them so far for you that are five stars is probably, you know, appropriate.
All right, I will start at another 1994 movie that we've done. Let's start at number 16 for me at The Lion King. And this will go over The Lion King. It's going to be better than Trainspotting.
Obviously.
There Will Be Blood is next.
How good is There Will Be Blood?
Mate, There Will Be Blood is fantastic. But I think
I have abandoned my boy.
What are you doing?
Go on.
I think the Shawshank better. I think the Shawshank Redemption is better than There'll Be Blood. Man, this is tough.
I know. It gets hard.
Shawshank Redemption against The Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that's an easy one, Hendo.
Shawshank Redemption is better than The Silence of the Lambs. Saving Private Ryan at 12. Yeah, I'm going to put this above that too. I know this was an easy one for you, but number 11 is Rocky for me, and I think this is better than Rocky. Top 10 now with The Dark Knight. Yeah, I think this is better than The Dark Knight. And at number 9 now with Kill Bill Volume 1. I think this is where it's going to stop. I'm looking at the next ones coming up, The Matrix, I've got Gladiator.
Hold on, so you think Kill Bill Volume 1 is better?
Yeah, I do.
That half movie?
Okay. Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
Yep, so Shawshank Redemption for me is my new number 10 of 100.
Wow. I'm glad it cracked the top 10 for you, Hendo.
How long will it stay there for?
Okay. You have 34 films that you give 5 stars, and we know that you're very generous with your ratings.
I'm going to guess you have 25.
I have more than 25.
Wow, well, there you go. You know more than me, though, do you?
No, I don't, but it's bloody close. Shawshank,
32?
Shawshank will be my 31st.
Ooh. What does that say about you and ranking previously?
Yeah. So, for the record, my lowest ranked 5-star film...
Wait, can I guess that? Is it The Terminator?
Yes. Yes, nice. It is. What's my highest ranked 4.5?
In the Mood for Love.
No.
It has to be something that happened after In the Mood for Love. Heat? No, Heat's a 5-star for you. I can't remember, because I remember when we did In the Mood for Love, Oh, you did 5-star Reservoir Dogs. Okay. All right.
All right. Let's go have a look at the top of this list. Let's just run through. Let's start with There Will Be Blood, because how good is that movie? I still can't believe I currently have There Will Be Blood.
I've abandoned my boy. Sorry, you just interrupted me at the same time.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up. I can't believe it. There Will Be Blood. As much as I watched that and loved it, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so high on my list, it still is 13. I would love to have that top 10, but there's so many good movies. Okay, so it's better than There Will Be Blood, better than The Matrix, better than The Dark Knight, better than 7, and 7 is my current number 10. So 7 is dropping out of my top 10 now.
Ooh, disappointing.
Now we come up against Inception. It's better than Inception. La La Land, better than. Groundhog Day, better than. Gladiator, better than. Batman Begins is currently number 5. And guess what, Hendo? It's not number 5 anymore, because Shawshank is better than Batman Begins.
Wow.
Then we get to Pulp Fiction. You know what? I think it's better than Pulp Fiction. Then we get to the Don himself, The Godfather.
Wow, going on a good run here.
It's better than The Godfather, Hendo.
Whoa! I actually was not expecting that.
Really? Okay, then we have what has been, or what was, my number 1 for so many weeks. In Once Upon a Time in America, it's better than Once Upon a Time in America, Hendo.
I've
forgotten how to speak. Okay, now we have a battle.
Wow, I can't believe that movie has stayed at number 1 for so long, and 2 weeks in a row, or 2 breakdowns in a row,
yeah,
we're having a number 1 battle here.
I know. Obviously, you did not realize how much I love The Shawshank Redemption.
I loved it, I just didn't know you loved it this much.
Okay, so Godfather Part 2 against Shawshank Redemption. Shawshank will be my new number 2.
I was going to say, can you imagine Godfather Part 2 finally overtakes and is there for 1 week?
Nah, I'm going to leave Godfather Part 2 at number 1, and Shawshank Redemption will be my new number 2, Endo. So, just to rehash, my top 10 now after 100 episodes. At number 10, Inception. Number 9, La La Land. How good's La La Land? Number 8, Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, Gladiator. Number 6, Batman Begins. Number 5, Pulp Fiction. Number 4, The Godfather. Number 3, Once Upon a Time in America. Number 2, The Shawshank Redemption. And my number 1, after 100 breakdowns, is The Godfather Part 2.
All right. Well, looking at my top 10 now, I have at number 10, The Shawshank Redemption. Number 9, Kill Bill, Volume 1. And I will stipulate that if...
Stipulate away.
If I was to have both the Kill Bills together as one movie, I would probably have that probably at number 4, I think. I'd probably put it up to that spot.
Okay. It's an irrelevant comment, but okay.
I figured I'd just mention it.
So you're saying that if you combine two movies together, you'd rate it higher. And if you combine two movies and one of which isn't even on the IMDb top 250.
I mean, you just called it a half film before, so.
Interesting.
Number 8 for me is The Matrix. Number 7 is Inception, and this is the one I'm looking at. I'm like, that's one I could question, honestly.
What? Inception, you question?
I man, I'm going back on it. I think Inception is so good. Yeah, but I...
Hans Zimmer, man.
For some reason, I feel Zimmerman. Like... Zimmerman. For some reason, I feel like I should have The Matrix above Inception, just for memory.
I have Inception above The Matrix.
Okay, I'm going to leave it, because maybe I'm just, I don't know, having a quick little mind spat here. Number six is Gladiator. And then we have the back-to-backs here. Number five is The Godfather. Number four is The Godfather Part 2. And then my top three is 7, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and Pulp Fiction.
Yes. Terminator 2 doesn't even make my top 20, Hendo.
That's pathetic.
What else did you have there? Kill Bill, I have at 17.
Yeah, okay. What do you have? La La Land, I had that at 21. Oh, no, 22, sorry.
Groundhog Day? Where you got that?
Groundhog Day, I have...
Get scrolling.
let's see. Groundhog Day, 38.
And I think Batman Begins was the only other one. Batman. Oh, no, Once Upon a Time in America, but we all know you don't like that.
Batman Begins at 23, and Once Upon a Time in America, all the way down at number 70.
Wow. For reference, my number 70 is It's a Wonderful Life. There you go.
It's not a wonderful life down at number 70.
Apparently not.
What's our worst film? The Passion of Joan of Arc.
Passion of Joan of Arc, followed closely by The Seventh Seal.
You get The Passion of Joan of Arc half a star. That's brutal, my friend.
It was a brutal watch, my friend.
But that is 100 breakdowns. That doesn't necessarily mean there's 150 left because, you know, there's a couple of films that have already gone out of the list and who knows what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll rewatch Hamilton for a 20th time and that'll crack the top 10.
Where's Hamilton?
18.
Okay. Got a bit, but I could see it. No, actually, it's not like my 18th rewatch is going to make it go up higher. Yeah,
I think I'm good. I did a quick Hamilton quiz on Instagram before. And
which Hamilton character you most like?
No, it was pretty easy. I wonder how you'll go with it. We're at the end of an episode here. I think anyone that's made it this far wants to hear your Hamilton quiz results. What's the first word of Hamilton?
How?
Where does Eliza tell?
Wait. Are we talking about the?
No, it's how. It's okay, how. Good. Wow. Where does Eliza tell Hamilton or Alexander to sleep in Bern?
No idea.
Sleep in your office instead. Who is the first character to say raise a glass?
Lafayette?
No, it's Hercules Mulligan. And finally, in the quote, immigrants, we get the job done. Who says the word immigrants?
Hamilton?
Nah, it's Lafayette.
I was trying to flip between the two of them.
In Venice, my kids got all of them right this morning.
So I get one out of four. Clearly not the Hamilton fan.
Clearly not.
All right, before we continue, we'd just like to say that this show is brought to you by our awesome patrons who have been supporting the show for 3 years, Dean. It is our 3-year anniversary this month.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, in our 100th breakdown month. So, well, there you go.
Yes, we are in the middle of our James Bond series over there. We are going strong with our video reactions, our video commentaries. We released our reaction on A View to a Kill last week. And coming up, we're into the Dalton era with The Living Daylights, Dean.
Yeah, really excited to finally get out of the bloody Moore era. So, yeah, Dalton, what a difference a new face can make.
It'll definitely be a lot of fun. So if you want to check out any of the extra things we have going over there, just head on over to patreon.com/themoviejourney. All right, mate, let's get to...
We may still have mail.
Mail.
Here it is.
And
this could be it.
Where our patrons review the films that we break down. All right, first one here from Rob at the Everything Racing Podcast. Now, Rob has been a champion of The Shawshank Redemption. He's been talking to us for a very long time saying, hey, when are you going to do Shawshank? Let's see what he has to say. Oh, okay. I didn't even read this properly yet. I remember when I first started listening to you guys a few years back and I wrote you a 5-star podcast review. And in it, I asked if/when you are going to be reviewing The Shawshank Redemption. So I am absolutely buzzing that you've finally done it. So on to the film. I feel like this is a highly unoriginal thing to say, but Shawshank is my favourite film of all time.
Nice.
The story, the cast, the performances, the score, the cinematography, the locations, the narration, the ending, the atmosphere, everything about it is just perfect. No matter how many times I watch it, I am completely transfixed and engrossed in the story. It's just a wonderful movie with some of the most iconic scenes ever put to film, and for my money, it's the best film ever made. 5 stars. But if I could, I'd give it all the stars in the universe. I highly doubt that there will be another film in my lifetime that I'll love more than The Shawshank Redemption. Great review, Rob.
Great job, Rob. All right, next up from Nerdrovert. When I first watched Shawshank, I guess I was too young to really appreciate it. After having rewatched it recently, it hits all the right notes in all the right categories. 5 stars.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, guys, for your reviews there. But of course, we've got... Shane!
I think Shawshank Redemption is up there as probably one of my most watched movies. I watched it at home a lot back in the day on VHS. You know, I studied it at school. I had to write essays about it. In one of them, I remember explaining how the Warden was a lot better villain than Captain Hadley. Not exactly a riveting sentiment. Maybe I said he was my favourite character. I mean, he's pretty good. Anyway, picking up where I left off from that essay I wrote, you know, the twist in this movie is pretty amazing, but I think I was too young to appreciate it at the time, and you really only get that experience once. I only gave this movie a 7 out of 10 on my first viewing, but I don't think it really took that long before it climbed up to 5 stars. At the moment, it's sitting as my number 3 of all-time movie, which is probably about right. It's been probably about 5 years since I watched it, but it probably could have used another 5. I feel like I know almost every line in this movie. Although there were a couple of things that, you know, a couple of things that I brought, that I took out of it that were new on this viewing. First of all, what is up with Floyd and arses? He tells Hayworth to smell his ass, and later he says Red is talking out of his ass. Like, you know, I mean, great dialogue. Captain Hadley stands out, actually. The whole rooftop tarring sequence is one of my favourite scenes in the film. But of course, there are so many moments. Just the establishing shot of Shawshank Prison is, with that emotive score, is just so amazing. The film is, it's really different. Although it's a prison movie, most of the prisoners are likable in it. The prison itself and, you know, the staff are the vicious part. But even then, once they're there long enough, the outside world becomes the enemy. So he maintains this commercial only in the movies feel to it, but it's also a Stephen King story, so you get all the quirky outcomes and detailed characters you wouldn't see elsewhere. I mean, overall, Shawshank Redemption is a powerful, enthralling experience, and it's, you know, its heart's in the right place. It's a very touching movie. I don't really have a lot else to say about it. 5 stars.
Quite a mellow review for the number 3 film of all time.
Yeah, I guess it's number 3 on my all-time list, which, yeah, I guess that's right. Could have gone another 5 years before I watched it again. What is he talking about? Where's the hype chain?
I know, you got to get that energy
the
in there.
Number
James.
3 film of all time. Boom. I gave it a 7 on the first time. thanks for that, Shane.
Thank
great
you very
review.
Much, Shane.
So, what's next?
All right, Dean, next week we're back for Pod v Pod, our second match. Another riveting one here. We've got Drew from the Real Feels podcast and Kevin Brackett from The Real Spoilers. This is going to be another epic battle, I reckon.
Oh, don't spoil it, Hendo.
Oh, sorry. This is going to be a terrible battle and it's going to be quite boring and mediocre. Don't listen, guys.
Just wait for the twist.
No, of course, it's going to be fantastic. Thank you very much, everyone, for checking this episode out. And we'll see you next week for match 2 of Pod v Pod.
Bye.